as promised. One of the hottest scorers in the league, not named McDavid or Dreisaitl. Nazem Kadri joining us on Real Kipper and Bourne. Naz, you're not going to be one of those guys that comes in and talks all nice about the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, you will remind people that you hope they lose every game. That's right?
Oh, what a way to kick the show off. No, of course, man. Those are, in all honesty, those are my buddies over there. And, you know, I wish them nothing but the best. But, you know, like I said, it's part of the business.
And does it help that you've got one game already? I think it's your only visit was a couple of years ago. I think they gave you the video tribute. So you don't have to go through all that over again. Will it feel a little different this time around coming in and as one of the top scorers in the league?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely might, for sure. It's always, an anxious feeling coming back, just, you know, obviously because, it's a place I hold close to my heart. But, you know, at least all that other, you know, all those other distractions are kind of out of the way, and I don't have to worry about that this time. So, you know, that's definitely a positive, and, always look forward to coming back.
Naz, tell us about your success so far this season. What's been working for you? 27 points through 18 games. The Avs are flying right now. What's going well for you this season?
Just trying to dial it in. That's all. Came in focused this year, and you know, had a great summer behind me, and you know, I just tried to prepare and put myself in the best position possible. So. You know, of course, you need a little bit of puck luck here and there, but our team's playing great, and you know, we've had to battle some adversity early, but you know, now we're starting to go, and I think everyone's buying in, and we're looking good on the ice.
It's really been quite remarkable your point production because you aren't playing with guys like Landis Cog, and yet you're finding ways. Even Nate MacKinnon out of the lineup would put even more focus on shutting you down. And yet, I mean, you found a way with Burakovsky and Nikushkin as well.
Yeah, of course. I mean, even they've had their struggles with injuries this year. So, it's been a bit of a shuffle for sure. But, you know, one thing I definitely try to pride myself on is, trying to make my line mates and teammates better and vice versa. So, you know, luckily I'm just, I feel like I'm moving pretty well out there. I got lots of energy and, like I said, I just, wanted to be, super focused this year and just, give it everything I got.
So Naz, obviously things are, it's been weird since you've been in Colorado with the, COVID situation and bubbles and all that sort of stuff. So I'm not sure you'd had an awesome sense for it so far, but just wondering what you find is like fundamental differences being a Colorado Avalanche player versus being a Toronto Maple Leaf.
Yeah, certainly it's a little bit different. I think, the travel aspect has, certainly been a change for me, just, going from playing out east to, having a 2-hour minimum flight, over on the West Coast. So, that's kind of been a bit of a change, but, for the most part, you try not to think about it too much. And, it's been enjoyable. I love the guys. Love the team, and it's been fun.
Naz, when it comes to your mindset coming into this season, it's hard not to think about your last suspension and what that meant and, all of it, they followed it, including articles that they should trade you, they should get rid of you, yet, there was a sense of unwavering support either from teammates, coaches, managers, but just in terms of all of that and what that's meant to you preparing for this season.
Oh yeah, for sure, Kipper. It's been, overwhelming support from my teammates in the organization, which is great, because they know the kind of guy I am and the character I have, and trying to have that compete level every single night and backing up my teammates. So, they kind of understand the game happens fast and sometimes things don't go exactly the way you plan, but they appreciate me as a player and me as a person, and you know, it's been tremendous support, which is something I definitely needed.
You know, when it comes to the Toronto Maple Leafs, because they exited so historically in the grand scheme of things, everybody's sitting there going, it doesn't really matter about the regular season. It all matters about the playoffs. Do you get a sense that as well when it comes to you and finally proving that in playoff games, you can be the player that you are showing in the regular season, and that stuff with the suspensions is behind you? Does it feel like you're preparing for that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, hey, I think playing in Toronto for as long as I did, you start to, you know, generate some thick skin and, you know, not really worry about the outside noise too much. You just kind of focus on what you can control and how you can perform out there. And, you know, when I've been playing in the playoffs, I've been a pretty, you know, pretty efficient player. I've had some good playoff years and, you know, produced in the playoffs and came to play. So, you know, if I get that opportunity again, I'm going to be ready for it.
Well, it seems like you certainly will, given the amount of talent in that lineup you've got there. One guy I was dying to ask you about is Cale Makar, who we don't get to see, you know, as much. Obviously, you're there with him every day. Guy's got 9 goals in his last 11 games now, up to 20 points for you guys on the season. Tell us about how he, you know, he affects play and his style of play. For me, one of the better defensemen in the league.
For sure. I agreed. You know, he's just such an effortless skater, which I think, you know, separates him a lot from everybody else. And, you know, just off the ice, getting to know him, his, you know, his maturity level is, you know, is through the roof. You know, I wish I had been that mature at his age, but, you know, he's certainly done a nice job for us, and he's a smart player. You know, talk about, you know, making your team and your teammates better. He's definitely, a great description of that. And, you know, we're going to lean on him, you know, moving forward.
Not a bad time, Naz, to have a career year, heading towards unrestricted free agency. Is that, something that's been put on the back burner, or, you know, would you like to negotiate now? Would you like to try to re-sign there now? What's your mindset going into UFA?
Just about the next game, to be honest with you. I know it's a bit, you know, a little cliche to say, but, you know, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't thinking about it, but you try not to, you know, focus on it too much. I think it's always kind of lingering in the back of your mind, but, you know, for me, you know, I just kind of want to play out the season and, you know, focus one day at a time. And, you know, cause I feel like that's just the best mentality and the best preparation for it. So, you know, I'm just going to continue to try to do my thing out there and, you know, let the rest settle itself afterwards.
Naz, is there anything different playing for Jared Bednar there than you've experienced in your career in terms of team structure? Are they asking you to play any different than any way that you've been used to playing, or is this all just sort of old hat and things are clicking?
Yeah, I don't think there's really much of a difference. I mean, you know, of course we have our structure, we have our X's and O's that we like to play, but you know, it's nice to be able to, you know, earn that trust of Bedsy for, you know, for him to be able to put me out in every single situation. I think I've been, you know, pretty versatile moving around in the power play, you know, 6-on-5, 5-on-6. So, you know, trying to be good in the face-off circle. So I'm, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, give him any excuse to put me out there. So, so, you know, so far it's going pretty good.
Sounds like Nate MacKinnon may be ready for a return as early as Wednesday. It just seems to me like this team's either battled, like you said, injuries or COVID. You guys have an 11-6-1 record, but to me, I watch you guys and it doesn't appear like you're out of third or second gear yet. There's got to be a sense of wait till we get to full strength and there will be something to reckon with.
Exactly. Oh man, it's you know, it was a little frustrating to start the year for sure. We it seemed like we couldn't catch a break in terms of you know, COVID protocols and, you know, injuries to, you know, to pretty significant players. So I mean, even our coach had to sit out the first couple games of the year. So it's been pretty hectic, and you know, still to this day, I don't think we've you know, we've played one game with a full lineup yet. So, you know, that just speaks volumes of the team's character and just guys stepping in and, you know, buying in as a team. And I think, you know, there is still another gear we can get to, and you know, hopefully we can get there sooner rather than later.
Well, we'll look forward to Wednesday. You need me helping you with your negotiation? I can only take like half a point or a point off of it. I won't charge you too much if you need some help.
Yeah, man, half a point's good. If half a point, yeah.
It's good by me, man. Listen, continued success. We really appreciate you making some time here.
All right, guys, anytime.
Thanks, man.
Nazem Kadri, Colorado Avalanche.
What a hockey team they have.
He's going to have a good run in the playoffs. Like, there's no question that he's going to command a good number, but it has to come with a new feel for Kadri in a Stanley Cup playoff.
Yeah. Obviously the suspension things are a thing. Can't pretend it's not a thing, right? This is the three times now in the postseason he's been suspended, and it's come at, you know, tough times for the team. He's been an exceptional player though. You know, for them and for the value on his contract, obviously he's given a ton. So,
you know, it's funny. You asked him something there, Kipper, that I really liked about how, you know, the support from the organization coming off of getting suspended again and how everybody was kind of in his corner or whatnot. How much of that do you think would maybe play into, you know, a contract negotiation? How, like, is he just looking to get paid no matter what, big bucks, or is that playing into it?
Well,
team's going to bring it in for sure.
He's not
giving them a deal, but, you know, goodwill.
He may give them a deal, but he certainly, you got to remember, he's coming off a contract that was probably too long. Mm-hmm. And undervalued at the end.
For sure.
Yeah, he's been underpaid for a while.
So it's kind of makeup time, and I don't know what that means. Could they go on to a Stanley Cup final or win it and feel like he's going to give up a little bit to try to continue to win Stanley Cups? I don't know, but it's not going to be that much of a discount, and Colorado's going to be in a tough spot here because, if I'm not mistaken, also Nate MacKinnon, this time next year, we'll be going into UFA.
Oh God, that talk about the all underpaid team, this guy, 6.3.
So I don't, in terms of getting his 6. Money 3. Now, he's going to make up a little bit for being underpaid off his last contract.
Thing is, you know what, though? I feel like the days of that happening the way it used to are almost gone. Like, you know, the salary cap has made it such that the most important thing for general managers is contract efficiency. Getting value for your dollars. And it just doesn't feel like the days, you know, where players had good careers and got paid as veterans for what they had done. Now it's like, what do you expect this guy to do? And you pay him accordingly. You know, Naz is how old now?
31, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
30 or 31. 31.
You're right. So it's funny. I'm looking at this contract and you're right. It just expires. He's making 4 or 5, that contract, when Lou signed him and Riley to those contracts. And people always, you know, are quick to point out the misses that Lou had here. You know, the Marleau contract was not great.
He hit on the players he needed to and missed on
He set up, you know, with those contracts he signed, you know, the Hyman one, Connor Brown even, Freddie Anderson, these two. Like, there were some few unbelievable contracts that he signed here in his time.
Yeah.
So would he even contemplate re-signing in Colorado if there's a chance that after next year they lose Nate MacKinnon?
I just can't even contemplate a world where they lose Nate MacKinnon.
There's no way. You don't lose a guy like that. Yeah. You think, like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know anything, but like,
13?
That just seems like, yeah.
Even 13?
And didn't he even say that?
13 has to be the starting point for Nate MacKinnon.
You think but so, eh? Okay.
He, like, as early as last year, like, said to the media that he's willing to take less to keep it all together.
I know. What's he doing? His agent's like, come on.
He's like, what are you doing, man?
You're costing my family money.
Yeah, it's one of those things where...
Sounds good at the time.
Sounds good at the time.
Yeah.
But...
And also makes you look like a more valued guy
he's like, I'll take less. How about 12?
So you got, you know, got at least 4 more years with Rantanen and Landeskog. And Landeskog goes, I think, 2 years past Rantanen as well. And then after that, it gets really dicey for what the rest of the lineup can look like.
Makar's under an awesome deal.
He's awesome.
Yeah, that's never going to be a bad contract.
That was immediately not enough money.
But yeah, it would be 13. What do you think? Let's say Kadri stays out of trouble these playoffs and they get to a conference final. Is Kadri, can if Kadri puts together 70 points?
Yeah.
Is that six and a half?
Yeah. Definitely. For sure.
I could even see someone going north of that. Like yeah. If say they go to the final, he's playing great. Like the type of guy that, you know, he can play like with that edge, with that scoring ability, just kind of play in all different situations. You know, you see guys get paid after off seasons and playoffs like that. I could see someone going $7 million for him. No?
I can, but it'd be like so 4 years. Now you're buying shorter term.
Now you're with the Leafs now. You got four forwards, Landeskog, Rantanen.
You know what? Now that I hear you talking like this, I don't know if you can do it.
At $38-40 million for four.
Yeah, you can't.
So
do
I don't know. Where's the cap?
Yeah, it's a good point, Kip.
So it's going to be challenging.
Byram's going to get paid at some point, right?
I got to think, like, you know, there's teams out there that are starving for goals, starving for offense. I look at Kadri and I think Boston Bruins.
Oh.
Right? They
why would you do
Krejci,
that?
Krejci. No Krejci Wouldn't he be a great
depth center
guy to fill in for David Krejci?
Who else did you just put on their team on Boston Kane. The other day? Kane?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boston.
I like it.
Kadri is not something that anyone.
That's like, that's a dagger into Super Sammy's.
That's a dagger into a big faction of Leafs Nation. I got to tell you, you know, Naz is still one of the most beloved guys, truly.
Like I think he played a way that people wanted them to play when they didn't play.
And he's in Wendell Clark territory.
People love him.
The thing is, another factor that went into how much he's loved here is that he was, you know, sort of a shining light on a dog you-know-what team for a long time. Like, him and Jake Gardner played on some awful teams through that stretch, and he was kind of their only goal scorer. He had the World Junior sort of hype. He came in, kind of lived up to it, you know, had a little bit of... Talked about a little maturity at the start of his career.
There's some element of growing up with a player and seeing them become more mature and being and grow, you know, that attachment growing.
So I just the thought of him wearing that jersey makes me physically ill. So thanks, Kip. Appreciate it, bud.
You know what though? I suddenly, Kip, I've like changed my tune just in talking this through for you. Yeah. I just can't see a way he stays with Colorado.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't think it works with their salary cap.
I 100% agree.
You know what? Eric Johnson makes $6 million a year, and that's up at the end of 2023. I think that he might have to go to make some room for some of these deals. Like Byram, you know, he's an RFA at the end of 2023. You got to pay him a lot.
There was talk about
a lot. Alex Newhook is 2023.
There was talk about a Eric Johnson buyout.
Yeah.
To get that contract.
Still a pretty good player. Still like him.
I do too.
And you know, six feels like a lot, but I still like the player.
And you also...
Burakovsky's contract's up this year.
Listen.
Nichushkin's up this year. He's making 2.5 playing in your top six.
You've got no goalie next year.
Oh, man. You're in trouble. They can't keep this together. They got to win this year.
You got to trade for Carey next year.
You don't have... Yeah, fit that in.
Sure.
Yeah, team with cap issue tracks down to $10 million.
They're not committed to a goalie next year. So you got to assume if they're getting anybody with experience... It's going to be five.
Oh, they got to push in hard this year. Just looking at this.
So they're a team that has to win in the next couple of years.
Are they going to be in Leafland where you got to really fill in efficiently at the edges?
The other thing too is, you know, for Kadri, there's always a sense that he has to go do something big in the playoffs. The games, it's hard to get the big hit now. All he has to do is just get rid of that mindset that he's got to go.
Play center, play D, chip in.
And make a big hit, and he's going to be fine.
Get that out of the game. No big hits.
You know who had a lot of big hits?
Wasn't me. Must be someone else.
PJ Stock.
Oh, yeah. Fair to him.
Actually, it was two hits. Someone hitting him and him hitting the ice.
No.
No, that was me. No, I wouldn't. Every once in a while, Google PJ's fights.
Yeah.
They are scary.
Through PJ, at a high rate per second.
Which one's your all-time favorite?
Oh, the one where I didn't get hurt, so I think it happened in Pee Wee. It was a fight in Pee Wee.
Stop it.
I actually had a fun... Reed Lowe and I texted just the other day, and Reed someone had put on Twitter, Reed and I had a fight, and Reed Lowe is, he was in Worcester a lot when he first started, and I was in Hartford, and, you know, back then there was like no puck sometimes when they put the fourth line on there. I swear to God, they dropped the puck, and then 30 seconds later, they pick it up. The puck would still be on the dot, and everyone else would have fought on the ice. It was just just a different time. Like the American Hockey League when I first started was a bunch of first-round picks or second-round picks, so skilled players getting, like, hopefully getting called up. And then there was like 5-6 guys that should be in jail. And I think the pro teams were thinking in the minors, maybe we can get one of these young skilled kids to come up or one of these crazy fourth line tough guys to come up. And that's kind of how they kind of, you know, they made their teams, and the rest of it was just middle guys that you can find anywhere. But the tough guy and the skill set guy, that was like, and you played in the American Hockey League, you played like 3 times on a weekend. So it'd be like fight. And then come Sunday would come and no one could feel their gloves. No one could feel their stick. And it'd be like, guys, no whistles today. Just you guys can have the game. Just let's end this. Let's go. But I fought Reed Lowe, and Reed Lowe sent me a video the other day of him and I fighting when he was in St. Louis and I was in Boston. And I think the fight ended because he just got tired of punching me in the face.
Which one am I thinking of? Stephen Pete? Was it like NBC or Fox or something, Game of the Week or something on a weekend?
Steve Levy and Darren Pang had a call in the afternoon. It was a Saturday afternoon game after in the States. You remember this? When, you know, football's kind of done in the States, the American channels add on some afternoon games. They kind of take over the schedules. No more college or NFL football. So in the States, we start having those afternoon games, those 1 o'clock games, those 3 o'clock games. And they had, I want to say it was ABC is what I think I want to, I can't remember. But Darren Pang and Steve Levy had the call. And the fight was okay, but the way their call was just so much better and made the fight that much better.
All right, stop
Darren Pangan threw in a holy jump, and so
stop it because I'm getting a headache. I'm getting a headache thinking about taking a punch to the head.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
All right. Well, we have to get your opinion. Speaking of taking punches to the head, the Montreal Canadian fans are experiencing something a little bit different today. Obviously, Marc Bergevin on the way out, Jeff Molson coming or made the move there, bringing in Gorton from the New York Rangers. What are your thoughts on what's taking place in Montreal?
I think it's a brilliant move. I really do. I think it's a guy that if you go back and you look at his track record, I don't have to bring them all up, but I think what he's done with the Boston Bruins organization, and I was there for it. He was assistant general manager, then GM at the end. Same thing when he went to the New York Rangers. And you look at how the structures and the bones of the successful team in Boston has been for the last forever. He had his handprint on all of that. And then you look at the New York Rangers, and the dismissal is, I'm not exactly sure why he was let go, but he had done a lot of important things with changing pieces that no one else would really change. And he brought in a lot of young, important players that are now the bones and basis to this team, which I think is going to be successful for time to come. So I think he's done it. He's been in the league for a long time. He knows the scouting part. He's kind of touched on every little bit of it. So I think he's very experienced and great. What I love about it is they didn't give him the general manager role, because in Montreal, the general manager, as Jeff Molson has come out and stated, saying that it is a position where the person has to be able to speak to the people. And of course, everyone knows that in Quebec, it's bilingual, very French and very English, and it's going to be a person that's going to be bilingual. So if you read between the lines, he more or less said, Gorton is kind of going to be the brains of the operation, but he's going to have a sidekick who's going to be a general manager, because there's really not a lot of experienced general manager. Like, again, Bergevin was a first-timer. You know, you look at all their coaches that they brought in over the last 2 decades are pretty much all first-timers. And you know, Julien, Therrien, and Vigneault, they were all second-timers, but they're all first-timer with the Canadiens. So there's not really someone experienced out there to take over the situation. But you put the hockey person there, and then you're going to be put someone there that's going to be able to speak to the media, work with Jeff. And I think it's going to be a two-headed monster. And I think it's – I really like the idea. I like what Jeff can bring. And I like what the other person is going to bring, because it's going to be a little – this person could do more hockey. This person could be a little bit more talking. As you guys know, in Toronto, Toronto's a machine. Montreal is the same, but add in the double language, it's a big headache.
So scratch Patrick Waugh off the list.
Scratch.
He will bury Gorton.
Yeah, well, it's not that at all. It's you're going to go get someone, a little bit like what they did, you get Brendan Shanahan, and then you give someone underneath, and then they're going to work together, and they're going to have a plan, and I like what they did here. It's going to be someone, you know, names that have popped up. There's names, again, there's no one out there that's really done this, but like a Danny Briere, who's been working in the East Coast in the American Hockey League. You look like a Matt Darsh, who worked in here, went to McGill, knows the owner very well. He had a job in town, which he was very successful at. Then he goes, gets a job in Tampa Bay as an assistant, gets a couple of Stanley Cups there. So now he has the winning pedigree. There's other names, but I'm just thinking whoever they bring in, if they were to put the guy like they put Bergevin on that position, they don't have experience. And this is a situation where, as Jeff said today, you know, he's not afraid of the term rebuild. You know, as long as everyone's ready for it and the right people are there, and I think you need the right person. And I think you have Jeff there that's done it, the two organizations, and you're going to bring in someone that can speak to the people the right way and the people will respect and understand in both languages. And those are two names that are at the top of the list, but it's still early and I have no idea. But again, I love what they did. And the other thing that I just saw this in, I don't know if you guys heard him today, but diversity was said a thousand times today. So I'm also expecting there to be, I'm thinking a female presence on a certain level. Of course, we have some great former Canadian hockey players in the city, Carolyn Ouellette, there's Kim St. Pierre, there's a whole bunch of Canadian Olympic athletes living in this town that are bilingual as well. And I don't want to throw their names out there, but I the way he spoke today, I can see another layer of that being added to this team, which represents the community.
Do you think a team would ever outright make it clear to the GM coming in that Gorton is the guy, you know, maybe not the guy, but like 50-50 in decision-making, even about player personnel, yeah, given that he's
I'll make the GM decisions, and yeah, if they're bad, you'll take the blame.
Yeah. Do you think you would be clear?
It's called the fake GM job.
I totally agree with you. I think it's going to be everything is you guys agree on this. I don't think I'll say Gorton has the 51%.
Right.
But Gorton has the experience, and he's done this before. And again, the names that I've just thrown out, you know, Talon's name has been thrown out as well. But that's the only one that has experience. Everyone else doesn't have any experience in this position. And he's a great person to learn from. So the problem is, once you get a taste, you want to do a little bit more. You want to do a little bit more. So the first person that they're going to bring in my opinion, isn't going to have that general manager experience. So it's going to be you lean on him, you work together. I think it will not be at all as much for the media, for the bilingual audience listening. It's going to say the general manager has the decision, but it's a kind of a two-headed monster. But to your point, guys, I think it's very 50-50 on how this is going to go moving forward.
Okay, so maybe for the first time in history, people are really wrapping their heads around a rebuild in Montreal. How is this going to go over, PJ, if we know they're going to miss the playoffs this year, if they miss it next year, or even happen to miss it a third time, you really expect people to dress up and go Saturday nights if the team's scraping the bottom of the barrel for the next few years?
For the first time in team history, there wasn't a Francophone in the lineup last year in the playoffs. And that's what the people talked about. The team went on to the Stanley Cup Finals and didn't almost win, but they almost won. If you think about it, they got through three teams and went to the Stanley Cup Finals. The biggest story that came out of playoffs last year, there wasn't a Francophone in the lineup. That's what the media plays. The fans don't care. The fans are tired of the way this team has been for the last two decades. And this, for the first time in a while, it's not the fact that they're losing, it's the way they're losing. And everyone's talking about it in town. It's been years where people have said, listen, we're not good enough. Like, rebuild. But everyone's stuck on, well, you have Weber, you have Price. Every other position, if you look at, was put anyone anywhere from any team. And it'd be almost better. But the Canadians, remember, they were 24th when the pandemic hit. 24th! And then last year, they go to a one division, North Division, and, you know, one team is COVID, the other team is Ottawa is a disaster. You know, there's really seven, but there's really five. And Calgary ended up, I mean, Calgary almost caught Montreal at the tail end, who just snuck in. Then they have a crazy run. Everyone's stuck on what happened for 6 weeks last year. What happened in six, actually, They won one series 4-0 for like 10 games. Everyone's lost on what happened for 10 games, pretty much. You forget everything else that's happened over the last 8-9 years. I think the people are ready, and they don't care about them losing. It's how they lose. And they have to go back to it, you know. Listen, they're going to lose. Everyone knows they're going to lose. People will show up if they lose, but if they lose the right way, if the effort's there, the energy's there. I go back to a player that played for the Canadiens for a few years, and he was not a talented guy. And I hope if he hears this, I don't mean it the wrong way, but Steve Bégin was a Montreal Canadian who was a player that worked his butt off every day. And he wasn't the most talented guy on the team, but people would rally around him. And we'd lose, but they'd leave that rink. Did you see Steve block those shots? Did you see Steve do that? And that's what the team has been missing for a while. A, they're not winning, but B, they're losing, and they're losing the wrong way. And I think if people can understand this is a process, and we're going to learn things and learn things the right way, I think people are can be behind it.
Bégin, that sounds French-Canadian. Make him the GM, I say. Pige, before we let you go, what's going to happen next? What are the first moves that a GM will make when they look at this roster? How do they get this thing back on track?
I think the coach is going to stay for the rest of the year. I think, obviously, they're paying a coach to, like, $5 million, and we don't know if it's really the coach that is the issue because he really deserves a chance where, you know, the team – doesn't have a lot of depth in any position. I think the first thing that I like that they did is they've got rid of people that have influenced the development of this organization for the last 15 plus years. They have missed on too many draft picks, and I'm not just blaming the people selecting the draft, and I'm not naming a name. I'm just saying the entire group. The people that drafted them and the people that developed them. There is no one in this organization in the last decade. You know, Jake Evans had a few shifts in the American Hockey League, like a year. But besides that, there's been no one coming up. All the first-round picks of over the last decade are pretty much gone, or more than that, 15 years. There's so many names that have been lost. And maybe they could have been developed. And maybe they could be 26, 27, 28 years old now. And, you know, maybe they might be a third-liner or a fourth-liner. But instead, they don't have any of those players in the organization. They have no one in the minors. So the first thing they have to do is identify the direction this team's going in. I think you got to identify, really importantly, who's your core? Who do you want here? Who's willing to lose and lose the right way? There's some contracts that suck. You know, there's some bad ones. Mm-hmm. How can you move them? You know, how can you move them? And the problem is you don't want to add draft picks to them, but you're going to have to move them. And then you're going to, like, find your core. Then you got to find your young player core and what to do with them and how do we develop them. I think that's the most important thing. There's nothing coming up.
Wow.
You know, Romanoff turns into something exceptional and Cole Caulfield. Because besides that, everything's on Suzuki. Like on the back end, every defenseman is 30 years old, pretty much. Your goalies are in their 30s. You know, you got, which it's okay, you got a bunch of mid-20s as forwards, but no one's been developed here. You've had to go sign them from every other organization and overpay them. So they got to identify a core, identify the way this team is going to move forward, and we need everyone to be on board. It's going to not be a day. It's not going to be a week. It's not going to be a month. This is going to be a process, and everyone's got to understand their role in the process.
A lot of work ahead for the Montreal Canadiens. PJ, really appreciate your time. Thanks, man.
I thought I nailed it.
You did.
All right.
Bye, guys. Thanks, PJ.
We'll have a meeting and decide.
Bye, guys.
See you, buddy. Oh, my God. You think really that market will be okay with feeding hockey?
Yeah, I think it will because hockey fans in markets like Toronto and Montreal think of themselves as smart hockey fans, and it'll be sold as, if you're a smart hockey fan, you want this. And they'll be like, yeah, I'll eat this up. But it's true. Like, there's no quick way back. So, you know.
There is not. You are 100% correct that they're going to eat a lot of crap sandwiches for the next year and a half, 2 years.
No, it's tough. Longer. Longer. It reminds me of the start of this whole COVID thing when we were like, a month or two, and all of a sudden you're a year and a half in. You're like, how long are we doing this for?
You know, I don't.
He's got so lucky.
I don't believe in that, 4 or 5 years automatic.
It's just never been proven to work.
I think in 2 years, you'd have to clear out you'd have to be really aggressive. But in 2 years, I think it could be a lot brighter.
When you bottom out and you draft, your draft picks have to hit or it lasts forever. Yeah. Buffalo didn't quite work. Look at Detroit and Anaheim got good players and they're turning it around.
I think a lot of teams probably look at what the Leafs did and think, rebuilding's easy. You know, like they bottomed out. They won the first overall pick.
Listen,
they got Marner four, Willie, you know,
you can be an average team with great goaltending in this league and look better than you really are. And we've got a lot of teams.
Look
in
at the Rangers.
Montreal was proof of that last year.
Mm-hmm.
When you get Vasilevsky plus what you do over the years for the roster, you win Stanley Cups.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, Carey's not the answer for the next 2 or 3 years here.
You almost have to pull the plug and so you can properly circle the drain and then try to find another goalie to plug back in there.
You've got to now work on the next, I'd say, 6 to 12 months on finding Carey Price a new home. That is a must.
Yeah, well, it is.
And he wants to keep playing.
Turnaround.
I think he
could use a fresh start somewhere.
He left the window open for Seattle, boys. That was not by accident.
Well, sorry. I thought you were saying that Carey would go there. I was like, they just signed a guy for a million
he's
years.
He's going to follow in the footsteps of
Patrick that window was open. They just didn't take it.
Yeah. So now probably wish they had of, but we'll be interesting to see how wide open he makes the window for them.
I just
them.
Don't know how much they're going to have to eat for Carey Price for somebody. I would think $3 million for sure.
Yeah.
I think somebody would bite at seven and a half.
So now we're talking about a contender. Now we're talking about Colorado and how do they get rid of, make
Colorado.
Sammy's plan happen. How do they make room?
Following the footsteps of Patrick Waugh from Montreal to Colorado for Cup glory.
Oh my God.
It's a nice story.
Yes.
Like that? A little parallel?
We just dissected Colorado's issues to sign Kadri.
They have no money. Here comes Carey Price.
Wow, that was a fun show.
That was. We packed a lot in there.
Sammy, you good? Derek, thank you very much.
Big thanks to Gilbert Gottfried for coming on the show today.
God, that sounded so funny.
It was really enjoyable.
Tkachuk.
Sounds like he's like he's got a hairball or something. He's coughing up.
Evil salute of some variety.
Thanks for listening. Real Kipper and Bourne. It was show number 40. Is that right, Sammy? All right.
He doesn't.
We're coming right back tomorrow with 41. Thanks for listening, everybody.